So good morning again. As I said, for you that came in late, my name is Eddie. I'm one of the elders here at Pillar Church of Jacksonville. It is always I always feel a heavy weight when coming up to preach. And I think that's a good thing. I think it should be, we should feel a bit of weight when we are preaching and proclaiming God's word, just because of the sheer force of what it means that Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, came, was made to be sin for us, right? Because of our disobedience, that Jesus suffered and died on the cross so that we could be reconciled to God through from our disobedience through his shed blood. I also appreciate when I come and I talk to members, when the songs kind of echo what the sermon is going to be. We were praying this morning, and I know one of the members said, like, you know, God is consistent. We look back over the Old Testament into the New Testament and now to where we are. And we say that God has been consistent in his plan to redeem man back to himself, pointing everything to Jesus Christ. Also spoke to one of our members coming in this morning, and she was saying how, you know, she felt like, you know, she was being more of a Martha than a Mary. Like, if you remember that story where when Jesus came to visit Lazarus, Martha was in the kitchen diligently working, trying to prepare Jesus a meal, while Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and intaking Jesus' teaching, right? Sometimes we get so far ahead of God that it's just ridiculous, and God is saying, no, stop, wait, listen, then go, right? We're going to see this. We've seen this as we've walked through Acts. That's kind of where we are in our series. If you haven't been with us, we've been walking through the book of Acts. In Acts 1:8, we're going to address that a little bit this morning. But Jesus told the disciples, essentially, go to Jerusalem and wait until the Holy Spirit comes and you will receive power. What he was saying to them is, don't move, don't do anything until I empower you to do so. So this morning, as we think about where we've come from in the past year, we think about the fact that in less than 96 hours, if my math's right, less than 96 hours, the whole world is going to be in 2026, right? It's amazing, right? The entire world at some point, right, depending on where you are, is going to be in 2026. So I want to talk to you today on the topic of staying focused on the mission, right? Staying focused on the mission. As I was doing this, I thought about one of the greatest dangers we face is not opposition from the world, but distraction from our purpose, right? So many things in this world can distract us, right? We think about our jobs, we think about our normal lives, and sometimes that can be fine, but we cannot, as a church, afford to be distracted, right? When I say church in this context, I'm talking about the Big C Universal Church, right? That is all of God's believers, past, present, and future, who have been given the mission to take God's word, the good news of Jesus Christ, into the world. That is the church I'm talking about. So, you know, if you're a member of Pillar Jacksonville, I'm not just talking about Pillar Jacksonville. If you're a member of another local church or another church somewhere, I'm not just talking about your church. I'm talking about God's church, right? And since it is God's church, what we need to focus on is that it is also God's mission. The thing that I realize, it is entirely possible to be super busy, well-organized, and sincere in our mission and still drift away from the mission God has entrusted to his church. I want us to think carefully about what it means to stay focused on the mission. Not our mission, but God's mission. A mission defined by the authority of the Father, right? So if the Father, being God, accomplished through the finished work of the Son, Jesus Christ, and carried forward by the power of the Holy Spirit through God's people, right? So God's plan through God's Son, by God's power, through God's people, right? If you'll catch, it's all God, 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 right? God is the initiator of his plan, right? You're going to hear me emphasize that over and over again. His plan, his mission. The Bible says that since before the foundation of the earth, God has been working out a perfect and sufficient plan to reconcile sinners to himself through faith in his Son, and he has chosen to accomplish that mission through a redeemed people empowered by the Holy Spirit. So if you're one of those people who, if you've, maybe this is your first time at church, maybe this is your first time in a long time, maybe you've been coming for a long time, and you've got a question that is in your brain, you're kind of thinking through yourself, is what exactly is it that the church is supposed to do, right? Have you ever asked a question like, what is it that the church is supposed to do? Like, I know that, you know, this is this big group of people, like, you know, different colors, shapes, sizes, attitudes, all this good stuff, like, but what is the church supposed to do? I mean, they, you know, there's like 1,500 churches, you know, in the area, but what are they all doing, right? What is the church supposed to do? So if you're asking that question, you're asking the right question, like, what is the church supposed to do? But more specifically, what I want us to focus on this morning is, what am I supposed to do as part of the body, as part of the church, right? So you're going to hear me use that language, church, body, member, right? All those things build up the big C. When I say the big C, I'm talking about the universal church. So I have a simple preaching line for you this morning, and that's going to be avoiding all distractions. Accomplishing God's mission must remain the primary focus of the church, right? That's what the church should be doing. The primary focus of the church is to avoid all distractions and accomplish God's mission. So what are we going to talk about this morning? Well, over the next several minutes, we're going to talk about three foundational questions, right? There's three questions that I believe that we need to understand in order to accomplish God's mission. That first question is, do we truly understand the church's assignment, right? Do you understand the church's assignment? Second, do we understand the means by which God accomplishes his mission? And then finally, do we understand what is at stake if we lose focus, right? Those are the three questions that I want us to chew on this morning, and I want you to reflect on, like, do you truly understand, right? The success of any mission begins with clarity, right? We need to have clarity. We're a predominantly military church. I know we have some people who aren't military, but somehow you're affiliated with the military. If you're not affiliated with the military, you kind of are because they're basically all around us here in Jacksonville and the surrounding parts. But clarity is what allows us to accomplish the mission. Confusion about the assignment leads to wasted effort and misplaced priorities. Like, we see it all the time. I did a little bit of research, and there are, in the average church of 100 people, there's about 50 different ministries, right? Just think of 50 ministries of 100 people, right? So for every two people, you can have your own specific ministry that you can do. And the problem with that is, as we start focusing on our own ministries, we forget the mission because we get distracted with things that aren't necessarily a ministry under what God has planned for us to do. So one of the things that you're going to see this morning, we're going to do a lot of Bible gymnastics. What that means is we're going to be bouncing back and forth through the pages of the Bible. It's a good exercise. I suggest that you try it at home on your own. You won't hurt yourself, I promise. But we're going to be going back and forth through several different passages. So bear with me. I'll try my best to give you some time to get to the passage before I start reading. But if I don't, it's okay. I'm going to read directly from the Bible. So write it down. You can have confidence. Go back and check it later. Be good Bereans. But just to make sure that, hey, what I said is what the Bible said. But we're going to jump into it, starting with the first main point, which is, do we truly understand the church's assignment? Under this main point, I want us to know that I believe there is three specific areas that we have to look at in order to understand God's assignment, right? The assignment for the church. The first, those three things are glorifying God, right? We sing about that this morning, Christ be magnified, right? In that is also God is going to be glorified. Proclaiming the gospel and witnessing to Christ, right? We've just come off of that through Matthew, where Jesus gives us the Great Commission, and then into Acts, where he tells them to go and be his witness, and then building up believers in the faith, right? That is what we need to be doing. And we're going to see why that is important In a second, but the number one thing is glorifying God. So if you're still in your spot in 2 Corinthians, we're going to flip a little bit to the left and go to 1 Corinthians, specifically in chapter 10. And when we get to chapter 10, we're going to go all the way down to verse 31. And here's what it says. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, right? Very simple. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Now, this came when there was some dispute about what should be eating, and all those type of different things. But for us, what I want to see is not about food, right? It's not about what we wear. What this is really about is how we're going about accomplishing God's mission, right? Whatever we do, right? Whether you're going to be the guy who's up on Sunday morning who's giving a sermon, if you're the guys and girls who are behind the guy who's giving a sermon and you're bringing the congregation into that praise time, you're playing the piano or you're just vocal, if you're the individual who's setting up the coffee and the communion on the table, do it all to the glory of God. That's what it's saying. All of that, the body, is what makes up the church, right? You know, my left arm is great, but without my right arm, things are going to be off balance, right? Mostly because I'm right-handed, right? So I need my right arm, right? But the entire body is what makes up the church. So as we are one body working together, then we are doing God's mission. And as we're doing that mission, we need to be doing it in a way that glorifies God. How do we do that? Not grumbling and complaining, right? We don't need to be complaining because I'm not in charge. We don't need to be complaining because, hey, today's my day to be in childcare, right? I know some of the kids are a little rambunctious. They want to get back home, but it's okay, right? Everything that we do for the glory of God. Let's move on. The second one, proclaiming the gospel and witnessing to Christ. I kind of alluded to that about the Great Commission and then also about Acts. So if we look at Matthew 28, and you don't have to turn there, but Jesus tells us, go therefore, right? The go is not the primary thing, right? The primary thing is make disciples, right? He says, go and make disciples. That go is like, hey, you need to leave from here, and when you get to where you're going, make disciples. That is the primary thing. But not only that, he says, of all nations. He finishes up with saying, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Act 2 kind of lends in onto that. Acts 8, 1:18. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Right? So we've got glorifying God by doing his work without mumbling, grumbling, and complaining. We've got proclaiming the gospel and witnessing to Christ, going and making disciples of all nations, and doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the last thing is building up other believers. I know in the last couple of weeks, we've got the question several times of, hey, how does this sermon lead people to Jesus? Right? It's a fair question, right? One of our jobs is, we just said it, to go and make disciples, to make followers of Jesus. So the question, how does any sermon help us lead people to Jesus? And the first thing that I would say to that before we get back to this is, before we can lead, we need to learn how to follow, right? Before I can go and make someone else a disciple, I need to learn what it means for me to be a disciple. How do I do that? Well, one of the other assignments of the church is to be building up, right? The Bible says edifying, right? And we'll see this in a second. If you haven't done so, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. But one of the purposes of the church, one of the assignments, is to be building up members or building up believers so they are mature in their faith in Jesus Christ, working towards unity for the purpose of completing God's mission, right? That's what the church should be doing. So the first thing that we need to be thinking about is, am I growing into someone who can go and make disciples, right? In order to do my mission, I need to be prepared. So in Ephesians, if you're in Ephesians chapter 4, go to verse 11. We're going to go from verse 11 down to verse 16. So as we think about verse chapter 4, it's talking about the unity of the body, the unity of the church in Christ. And verse 11, it starts this way, and he says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry." Pause there. So there's a purpose for the body, right? For the members, for the apostles, teachers, evangelists, so on and so forth. And that purpose, that first purpose is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, right? Do you guys see that, right? We need to be equipped for the work of ministry. We need to hear the word. We need to read the word. We need to study the word. We need to digest the word so we can be transformed by the word, so we can go out and make disciples of all nations. Before Jesus sent out the apostles, he first taught them, right? He spent 3 years teaching the apostles, right, everything they needed to know. Right? He spent some time telling them, hey, what to expect when they went out. And then in Matthew, he said, go, therefore, and make disciples. He didn't say, go make disciples, and if you get stuck, come back, and I'll show you how to do it. He taught them, then he sent them out. One of the purposes of the church that we see in 11 and 12 is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Moving on. For building up the body of Christ. Stop there. Building up the body of Christ, right? We need to build each other up. Some of that is going to be teaching. We do that here at Pillar Jacksonville through our regular Sunday morning service, right? We build each other up there. As we're coming in, there's fellowship. That's part of the encouraging and building up. We sit under the preached word. We sing. We have corporate prayer, corporate worship. That's part of building up the body. But also throughout the week, we have community groups, right? In our community groups, that's a time where we have members of the church in their respective areas, right, in their locations. They meet together, and they either go over a set topic that they've decided as a group, or more likely, they're reviewing the sermon from the past Sunday and reviewing the sermon, reviewing the passage for the next Sunday, right? That's another way that the members are being built up. But there's also other relationships, right? There's relationships amongst other members, right? There's, you know, there's members who have friends who are in the church, and they get together outside of church activities. All of that is necessary for building up the body, right? And that's what Paul is saying here to the Ephesians. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, right? And that manhood could be manhood, womanhood. But in this particular sense, it's saying like the purpose of building us up is one, to support the mission, right? To support the mission. And then also so we can attain to maturity, right? We need to be mature Christians. Right? Like I said before, we're not, you know, there's a saying like you don't send a boy to be doing a man's job, right? We're not going to send an immature Christian out alone and unafraid to proclaim the gospel. Like, no, we want to build them up. That's why we have youth group, right? That's why we have our preschool. Those, they go through the Bible lessons, right? We're building up the body so everyone can obtain that maturity that we need, that the Bible calls us to have. Moving on to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way in him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We think about everything that's going on in the world, right? We need to know, right, what the truth is, right? We need to speak truth to each other, right? And where do we get that truth from? We get that truth from the Word, right? How do we dispense that truth amongst each other, right? I just said it. We meet on Sunday mornings that we sit under the preach Word, right? We get truth from songs, right? Andrew just gave us a history on Come Thy Fountain, right? If you're listening to, like, man, like, I didn't even know that, right? Now as I'm listening to the song and I'm singing the song, I've got a different perspective on what is being said, and it pulls me into being able to move to the next song, which talks about glorifying, oh, Christ be glorified, right? All these things work together to build up the body. You know, we think about the pastor I read this morning in 2 Corinthians about us being God's ambassadors, right? He says, and when an ambassador is sent out, that ambassador, they are the face of the entire nation, right? Let's just let that sink in for a minute. When an ambassador is sent out, they are the face of the entire nation. When we are sent out, we are the face of the entire kingdom, right? I know, you know, the word's a little bit different, but if you think about nation, we're thinking about kingdom, but more importantly, we're thinking about God's kingdom, right? Who controls everything. It's not, hey, you know what, I'm going out, I've been sent out by President Trump, so I'm going to be the ambassador to the United States. Like, you know, it's bigger than that. When we go out, first of all, we carry much more authority, right? Second, our mission is much more important, right? And then thirdly, when we go out, hey, we are meant to do that, and the stakes are very high, right? So we're going to get to that, but I want us to understand, like, what it means for us to be God's ambassador, right? To be an ambassador of the gospel. The problem is, we think about our embassies. One of the things that happen, we put embassies in different countries. Oftentimes, those people that are in that embassy start to take on the likeness of the country that they're in. Right, and that's a problem, right? I'm sent to this place to be an ambassador for my nation. However, the influence of the nation that I'm in starts to be more of my characteristics than the nation that I was sent by. Do we see a problem? Right, there's a problem. If I'm supposed to be God's ambassador and I'm starting to look more like society, that's a problem, right? I can't do my job effectively if I forgot what the mission is. See, we can be very active, and that's why I said in the beginning, like, we can have all these ministries, right? We can be very active in saying, I'm doing things for God and still not be on the mission, right? So how do we do these things? How do we apply these things to our lives? Well, let's start with glorifying God. As we live like Jesus, we reveal God's character, right? As we live like Jesus, right, what does it mean to be a Christian? It means that you're a little Christ, you're being like Christ. But as we live like him, we reveal God's character and we make his name great. But what's the other side of that coin? As I proclaim to be like Jesus and I don't live like him, what do I do to God's name, right? We have to look at that both sides, right? The goal is to reflect God's character in a good way, not to disgrace God's name. The goal is to glorify God, not to disgrace God's name and tarnish my testimony, right? What's the next one? Proclaiming and witnessing. As we share the gospel and we live like Jesus, we complete both the Great Commission and his command to be witnesses, right? As we share the gospel with our coworkers, as we intake the preached word, as we do Bible study, as we go out and we share with our coworkers and our family and our friends, we are proclaiming the gospel. As we live out that proclamation, our testimonies, right? Everyone loves a good testimony. Hey, I was a scumbag. I was a dirtbag. I was doing all this, and God brought me from zero to hero in no time flat. Like, okay, that's a great testimony, but the way that you're walking actually look like what you're saying, right? Does your do match your who, right? That's the problem, right? So there's two sides to that coin as well. Finally, building up the church. faithful preaching and teaching, right? There needs to be faithful preaching and teaching. And this goes back to, again, we're building up the church. See, I can sit up here and I can spin you all kinds of stories and you could possibly fall for it. Why? Because you haven't been built up to maturity where you're studying your Bible and you know what the Bible says. Right? That's why it's important when we talk about building up the church that all the members are built up to maturity. What does it say? So you're not tossed to and fro by every myth, by everything that you hear. The goal is that you know the Bible and then I provide extra context. Right? That's the goal of the preachers and the teachers. Like, you know what the word says, and then the preacher and your teacher provides extra context to help us better understand it and to grow together as a body and provide leadership. That's what we should be looking for, right? Mutual agreement, speaking truth in love through fellowship and accountability. This is often where the problems are. The fellowship is usually not a problem. Right, we can always find one or two people at church that I'm okay to sit next to. Right, I can sit next to Andrew on any given Sunday, and I feel like I'm okay. Right, that isn't always the case. Right, the problem that we have is accountability. Right, being able not to speak the truth. Like, most of us know how to speak the truth to somebody else. The problem is receiving the truth from somebody else. Right, there's such thing as corrective criticism. Right, we need to do it in love. Right. Sometimes our love is a little bit hotter than it needs to be when we're talking to other people, and our temper is a little bit hotter than it be when we're receiving from other people. But, you know, we need to make sure that we can accept that accountability before the purpose of building each other up. Right. The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Right. They should have put a provision there for adult church members. Right. You know, discipline, discipleship and mentoring. Intentional, right? That word intentional. Intentional discipleship, right? Intentional mentoring. And I want you to know, there's a difference between discipleship and mentoring. I can mentor you, but you're not being discipled, right? Let me explain what that means. I can say, hey, let's go to the pistol range and shoot, right? And that could be some good mentoring. And we can spend some time talking about ammunition. We can spend some time talking about the bulls out on the target. We can spend some time talking about the smell of the gunpowder. And that's all great. And I can make you a great shooter. But that's mentoring. That's not discipleship. We need to be intentional in discipleship. Discipleship means I'm working with you for the express purpose of making you a better Christian as we follow Jesus Christ. That's discipleship. Right, there is a difference between mentoring and discipleship. A discipleship is a big brother. I mean, a mentor is a big brother. A discipleship is a follower of Christ seeking to make other followers of Christ. Right, there is a difference, and it's also obedience and godliness. Right, I said it again: obedience. I'm discipling you into obedience, into godliness. And then the final thing under building up the church is corporate worship and prayer. I think we do a great job, right? Our worship team always does a great job. I love when we're singing and you can hear the people behind you singing. That's why I like kind of standing in front of Jacob. Jacob always sings out loud and you can hear it. So it's always good when the congregation is actually singing, because as a body, we need to have that corporate worship, right? We pray together, right? When Andrew is praying, right, we're all involved. We all should be involved in the prayer when he's praying, because he's praying to God for us, right? We're all praying together. But we're strengthening that faith, right? So as you're hearing, you know, me pray this morning, or Andrew pray, or anyone else pray, or even in your own prayer time, think about what is going on in that time, right? In your prayers, right, as you see God be consistent, you know, like you know, Carrie was saying this morning, as you see God being consistent in your life, do you consider how that is strengthening your faith in Jesus Christ, right? Because through faith in him, we have the relationship to God, that he can release the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives, that he can do miraculous things in our lives. Corporate worship and prayer for the strengthening of shared devotion to God. That's what we need to be looking at. And we need to remember that it's God's mission, right? First and foremost, it is God's mission. Like, you'll see on the banners, there's one out in the foyer. There's one over to my left over here, over to your right. It says, we exist to know Jesus and to make him known, right? You need to understand, like, that is a sub-mission, right? Like, yeah, there's the big mission, like, you know, we're going to redeem people. But that mission, we exist to know Jesus and make him known on that banner. That's Pillar Jacksonville's mission. That's the Praetorians Project mission. That's how we see ourselves as part of supporting God's mission. But the ultimate mission, that mission even in itself, is derived from God's mission, which is to redeem the world to himself, right? That is the big mission. We're just, what we're doing is sub to that mission, right? That's how we accomplish that mission. And it's God, being that it is God's mission, is also God who determines how that mission is accomplished. Point number two is, do we understand the means by which God accomplishes his mission, right? Do you understand the means? We've talked about whose mission it is. We understand that's God. I think we can all be in agreement. We understand what the mission is to redeem people to himself, right? And in that, we've got the different categories that will glorify God, that will also proclaim the gospel, and will also witness to Jesus, and will build up other believers. Like, that's the mission, right? And that mission is God's. But do we understand the means by which God accomplishes his mission? First and foremost, and probably the way, the main way, is God accomplishes his mission by the power of the Holy Spirit. Add on to that. So if the Spirit is the power, right, there's a power source. So what is that power source powering, right? And that power source is through faith in his Son and the participation of his people, right? So to put it all together, God accomplishes his mission by the power of his Spirit through faith in his Son and the participation of his people, right? So all of those are needed for God's mission to be accomplished. First, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent who convicts, regenerates, empowers, and sustains God's people. As you're waiting on me, go ahead and turn. We're going to go into the Old Testament for a second. So in Zechariah, so that's back in the prophets. So if you just go back to Zechariah, chapter 4. So the Holy Spirit is a primary agent by which God sustains his work, right? We talked about in Acts 1:8 where God told the disciples before he ascended back into heaven that they were to go to Jerusalem and they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Then we know that in Acts chapter 2 in Pentecost that the actual Holy Spirit came, and once it came, then the mission of the church fully initiated, right? So the church was established at that point, and they initiated, and then we know that Peter stood up and started to proclaiming the gospel to the hearers around him by the power of the Holy Spirit. No, I just got to get to Zechariah, and we'll be on point. So here, when you're in Zechariah chapter 4, go to verse 6. And here, what you see in this particular area, there is basically understood, this is after the exile. They've came back, and they're building the wall, but there is a lot of opposition. But what he says is, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So what God is saying, he's assuring him that, hey, this is going to happen, right? Again, I keep going back to this word consistent. God is consistent. Thus says the Lord, when God says something is going to happen, it happens. How do we know this? Well, we can go back to Genesis. You know, God said, let there be light. The very next sentence, and there was light, right? When God says something's going to happen, it happens. Right? God said, hey, I'm going to bring you up out of the land of Egypt, right? And it happened. He said, I'm going to send you into exile, but don't worry, I'm going to bring you back. And it happened. That's where we are. Israelites were sent into exile, and then they were brought back, and now they're reestablishing the wall here to build the temple, right? So God says, hey, I'm going to provide the power. I'm going to provide, you know, everything that you need in order for you to do my mission. Why does that matter to us? Well, first of all, we like doing things our own way, Right? We like doing things in our own power. What we need to understand is, like, if we're going to do anything for God, we have to do it God's way, in God's timing, under God's power. Right? That's what we need to understand. If we're going to do anything for God that's going to hold any value, we have to do it His way and His timing under His power. The second way is through faith in His Son. The mission centers around one person, right? There's only one hero in the Bible, right? That's Jesus, right? That's it. Jesus is the hero in the story, right? And everything centers around Him. The redemption, reconciliation, new life all comes from faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we, to do our mission, have to have faith in the completed work of Jesus Christ. John 14:6, I want you to turn there. Many of you maybe know it says, Jesus tells us, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Right? No man comes to the Father except by me. Right? No one comes to God except through Jesus Christ. Right? There's all these new age religions that say, hey, you know, I worship this God, and because I'm worshiping this God, then I'll get to heaven. You need to read the Bible. Right? That's why we need to proclaim the word. He says, I am the way to God. I am the truth about how to get there. I am the truth. I am the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. 2 Corinthians, which we're just in chapter 5:19, says God reconciles the world to Himself through Christ and proclaims that message through His people. Right? Again, Christ is the means that God reconciles people to Himself. Right? And God's people are the ones that take that message. Finally, through the participation of His people, God's sovereignty chooses who to use to redeem His people, right? We are His chosen instruments. Roll back over to 2 Corinthians, back to the New Testament, in chapter 5. I told you guys you're going to get a workout this morning. We're going to be in verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God, right? We are the ambassadors imploring the rest of the world to be reconciled to God. We'll talk about why that's important here in a second. But then finally, it says, believers are created in Christ for good works, prepared by God, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Like, we are God's handiwork, right? We were made to do God's good work. Again, this all ties together. That's why it goes back into why believers need to be built up, right? We have a job to do, right? We don't send someone out to do a job without first equipping them. That's why we have boot camp for the military. First, you go to boot camp, you learn how to do the job. Then they send you off, and then you learn some more how to do another part of the job, and then they send you off to do the big job, right? We, as Christians, need to learn how to do our job. We need to be built up because we are the ambassadors that go out and we're the ones that implore the world to be reconciled to God for salvation through Jesus Christ. Right? That is our job. Right? We need to understand all of that so we can explain that and we can do a good job. Right? We want to be good workmen for God, right? Glorifying God. So how do I do that, right? Number one, I need to submit to the authority and the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? I cannot generate power in myself. I cannot do any good works of and of myself, right? I can promise you that if anything I try to do for God and I leave God out, it's not going to turn out well. I can promise you that. We cannot generate enough power, sufficient power, to do God's work correctly. The second thing is that we trust fully in the finished work of Christ, right? Jesus paid it all, right? We sing this song multiple times. Jesus paid it all. Jesus is the one that made it possible for us to reconcile God. There's nothing else we can need to do except for proclaim the gospel and live a good life according to us being good disciples under Jesus Christ. And then finally, we participate in God's mission alongside God's people, right? We talked about building up the body. Again, as I said before, my left hand is great, but I need my right hand, right? We are a body. We need the whole body to work together. James Montgomery Boyce says, Christianity at its basic form is corporate, right? And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he says, Christ saves individuals, but he places them immediately into a body, right? We talked about this when we were going through the beginning of Acts, right? You know, Christians need other Christians, right? We need to be involved in a church. You cannot be a solo Christian, right? There is no lone wolf Christian. You're in church and you're a Christian, or you're trying to do it on your own, and I'm almost going to guarantee you're going to fail, right? Christians need other Christians. Who's going to encourage you when you're sitting in your closet by yourself saying, hey, this is my war room, and it's just you sitting in there, and no one's explaining anything to you, and you're not depending on the Holy Spirit, and you're wondering why there's attacks, and you're frustrated, and you're discouraged, because you need other Christians, right? We are a corporate, we're corporate. We need to be together, right? The body needs both sides. I need both legs. I need both arms if I'm going to function properly. We want to function properly. The church is God's chosen instrument, right? We are the ones that he's chosen, right? So in these last couple minutes, I want to go really quick through the third main point. It's like, and that's, do we understand what is at stake if we lose focus, right? And for all these, when I say we, I want you to start, you know, I know you're writing it down. So, okay, we, you know, do we understand? Do we understand? But also, as you're going back and reflecting on this, I want you to take that we and change it to I, right? Do I understand what happens if I lose focus, right? If my left eye loses focus, it throws off my equilibrium, right? What happens if I lose focus, right? What happens to me? What is at stake? Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 10. That's going to be back to your left, right before Corinthians, right before 1 Corinthians. So Romans chapter 10, go down to verse 13. So in Romans 10, verse 13, it says this. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So that is essentially the preface to where we're going. So everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Right? What is he saying? In order for people to hear the gospel, someone has to tell them, right? We as a church need to be the ones who go out and proclaim the gospel to the world, right? As Christ's ambassadors, as we said, right? Without God's ambassadors, glorifying God through God's goodness, witnessing to Christ, sharing the good news about Christ with people, how would they know, right? How would they know, right? They can, like I said before, they can pick up the Bible and they can start reading, right? But how will they really understand it, right? We need people, we need to be able to go and share the gospel with people. See, the stakes for failing to accomplish our mission are high, right? They're higher than setting up programs, higher than setting up different ministries. You know, the stakes for us not accomplishing our mission are higher than our personal preferences. Let me give you an illustration. You know, how many people have ever flown a plane before? Raise your hand. All right, so we know, all right, most of you don't know, like when you fly, there's air traffic controllers that actually give the plane instruction on how to take off and how to land, right? Imagine if their air traffic controller is not doing their job, right? Imagine if they've lost focus. They're playing a video game, they're talking on the phone. What happens when they lose their focus? Well, first of all, it's not just going to be a my bad moment. It's not going to be, oops, I lost attention for a moment. No. What's going to happen is it's going to be an 800,000-pound plane crashing into the tarmac full of people. That's what happens when an air traffic controller loses focus, right? what happens when we lose focus, right? You see, and that's the thing. So we think about it. So we've got the plane taking off, got the plane coming down. We've got this little guy or girl who's sitting in this tower saying, yep, you're on course, you're not on course. But they lose focus. And the thing is, the plane doesn't crash because the runway disappears, right? The runway is there. The plane crashes because they've got no instruction. They've got no guidance, right? The same thing. People don't perish because Christ is insufficient. People perish because the gospel is either not clearly proclaimed, or it is not clearly or fully or faithfully proclaimed, or because they outright reject it, right? So hear what I'm saying. We're not responsible for people accepting the gospel. What I'm responsible for is proclaiming the gospel and living a life that positively reflects Jesus Christ. That is what I'm responsible for. If I'm not doing that, then I'm failing. Does that make sense, right? I can't make you accept the gospel, but I am responsible for making sure that you hear the gospel when possible, as it depends on me. So how do we apply these? First of all, Matthew 9:37, and we'll just run through these. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray, right? We need to pray. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, right? How do we do this? We pray that God will raise up faithful men and women to preach to God, to go out and spread the gospel. 2 Timothy, preach the word, right? Right, that preach the word that he's using here, yes, it applies to Timothy as a pastor, but it also applies to the people that Timothy are pastoring to. They are also going out to preach, to proclaim the word. And he says, to be ready. Right? Again, it goes back to building up the body, that we are ready in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. We need to be ready to share the gospel when the opportunity presents itself. That is what Paul is telling people. Be ready. So the stakes are high, right? We cannot afford not to accomplish God's mission, right? And let me put it in perspective to you. Imagine that your mission was to share the gospel with one of your best friends or one of your family members. How does that change the way you look at the mission? If the goal, and it is, to share the gospel with my best friend and one of my family members, right, if that's the mission, then I need to be about the mission. But we also can't stop there because we also need to preach to our enemies. Right? We need to pray for our enemies. All of that comes into the mission. God, it says God's trying to reconcile all people to himself, not just our family and our friends, all people, every nation. So here's the conclusion. The question is not whether we have a mission, but are we faithfully participating in God's mission, right? We have, if you're a Christian and you're in church, you have a mission. The church has a mission. Are you participating in it? So here's what I want to leave you with this morning. Three questions for reflection that I kind of talked about earlier. The first question is this. Am I more concerned with God approving my mission than I am in participating in his, right? Am I more concerned with God approving my mission than me participating in his? The second one, by what means am I working to complete God's mission, right? What are the means that you're working to complete God's mission? Is it by his means or your own? And finally, am I committed to faithfully send, support, and proclaim the word of Christ so that others may call on the name of the Lord and be saved, right? Those are the three questions I want you to reflect on this week as you think about your mission as one, a Christian, but also as part of the church body. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this awesome opportunity to help to participate in your mission to bring people into salvation through Jesus Christ. Father, we know this is a great opportunity, but it's also a big task. We know there will be opposition, both from society. We know there will be rejection from people. But you have given us power to complete your mission by your Holy Spirit, Father. You are consistent. Your track record is awesome. What you say will accomplish will be accomplished. Jesus told Peter that the church would be built and even the gates of hell could not prevail against it. Father, we trust that word. Father, we take that and we just ask you that through that word that you would give us the strength that we need to glorify you, to proclaim the gospel, to witness to Christ, and to build each other up into maturity as we go out into the world in order to participate in the mission that you've given us. Father, thank you so much, Father, and I just pray this. If there's anyone here this morning who has not put their faith in Jesus Christ, that today is the day, Father, that before they would leave today, before they would even think about what 2026 looks like, that their first priority would be to know Jesus Christ, Father, and to make him known, Father, to know them, know him for themselves, that they can be reconciled to God. Father, we lift this up to you. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name we pray.